Welcome to the Business and Enterprise Systems Mission Success Podcast, where we give you a look into things happening at BES. Today, we're going round two. We have another conversation with Mr. Tony Madden. Mr. Madden is an agile coach in the BES Agile Services Office. And Mr. Madden, hey, welcome back. It's good to see you again.
Thank you, sir. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. So we've got some things going on in your office that we need to discuss. I love the way you reached out to say, hey, I've got to share the news. So we're talking about today about the BES Agile Metrics Guide.
So we're trying to get the message out there. Absolutely. So we revised it. We've had it out there since 2020, 2021, and we revised it here with some latest and greatest features, as well as Agile has progressed and the toolings of Agile progress. So we want to stay step in step. So we have a updated guide, and we're trying to get the information out. So thank you for this opportunity.
Okay, so tell me about that. What is the purpose? How are you guys supporting programs with the Agile Metrics Guide?
So the guide allows programs to allow them to do self-measurements on their performance during the life cycle of their Agile delivery journeys. And it's really critical because it allows insight to ensure the team is performing and progressing towards their goals that they want to achieve. If it's a small, maybe a 2-week sprint, could be a quarterly, could be semi, or even annual, right? So it allows not only the measurement of the progress, but also show improvements within their own ways of working within the team, but also improvements of the software or product or service or result that they're helping support the warfighter. So it's a great way to make sure the delivery is with quality and in fast release fashion.
Okay, so you're recording metrics. What are some of the metrics that you guys are capturing?
We have lots. We have a lot of the standard metrics that comes from whatever framework selected with the CDT or the capability delivery teams that are part of their Agile journeys that are progressing with their software or product efforts. So some of the standard metrics that we have is called velocity. So if they leverage the BAT Atlassian toolset and they use Jira and they use what's called sprint boards, these reports are turnkey. So if they put their estimation, their level of effort, and all the other ways of working in there, the report will be rewarded to you by showing, okay, we committed to these number of items. Did we complete it? And allows you for over a period of time to measure, okay, let's say we committed to 10 items, we completed 8. The next iteration, we committed 11 items, but we actually hit 11 items. So you get a historical reference to see your team's battle rhythm. Is our
Gotcha.
estimates are accurate? Are we testing in a timely fashion? Are we securing our code in a timely fashion? And we all make our definition of done to make our potential shippable product ready for release. So it's a great way to have measurement of where those activities lie on an individual level or actually on a whole team level. So
Okay. So, and this is just me. Sounds like not only is this beneficial for the team business-wise, but it could also build morale. Is
yes.
there any element to that where a team can see, hey, we're let me put it this way, you can see the goalpost.
Yes. And there, like when you say a goalpost, there's like plays in a playbook to get to that final scoring effort, right? And there's some plays, it could be a tough challenge, like, oh, we didn't anticipate that, or oh, okay, we were dependent on something else. But you know what? Our team still took action. We identified it, we understood how to plan for it, and we still built and we still delivered within our time box. So that's one of the little nice wins is that sometimes it's the unknown that you haven't
Yeah.
planned for, but we have the measurements in place that's like, okay, and it gives you a deeper understanding on how to improve upon this going forward. If it's something we've never seen before and now we have seen it and we solved it, now we apply it going forward. And the metrics and also just ways of working can be applied with that knowledge. So
Wow. Very cool. So What is the scope here? We've got this question to discuss. What is the scope of the BES Agile Metrics Guide in terms of these agile frameworks?
Yeah. So right now, we have the frame the scope right now for SAFe, Scaled Agile Framework. We have it for Scrum. We have it for Kanban. We have it for Scrumban, and also we have other metrics now that supports less and extreme programming. So we're hearing it from the business, and we want to respond to the business of what those metrics that our guidance provide. So if you're in the BAT tooling, we point out exactly how to get to that tooling and how to generate those reports or set those up. But we also have guides to how to do this in Excel. So
Okay.
if the tooling's limited, we can also allow you to extrapolate the data that you have and also build it out in Excel as well. So
Okay.
that's the scope that we have. So allows decisions made from there in terms of acquisition timelines, financial decisions. Do we have the right skills on the team? Do we need to adjust? Are we short on skills? And other ways of efforts to understand how the team should operate.
Okay. So, all right, you guys have been at this for about 5 years, you said, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, what's different now than 5 years ago? You said some late great updates, but what are some of the updates and how is that playing out for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Our organization, BES, has matured quite a bit with all their agile journeys. And also industry has, matured at, with their processes and stuff as well. So we now have new features inside the BAT tooling, as well as if you're not in the BAT tooling, we have guidance you can do in Excel to do new advanced, I want you to say advanced, new ways of working. So
Okay.
one of the exciting items is that we have what's called time and status. So if you have like ways of working like in a Kanban fashion, and you have a thing inside of a column called to do, we have a metric now to see how long has it been in that status. Before
Okay.
it was the eyeball method, or somebody tracking in Excel or tracking somewhere else, but now we have really great guidance on how to measure that. And if you come to a team agreement saying, hey, we have, if it's in this category, we only want to be in that category for 5 business days. And if it slips out of that, that's where that time and status metric comes into play. It's like, okay, we had an overage on a couple of those activities. So you have the conversation. Why did that happen? Did we have personnel like out sick for a day, or if there's other
Yeah.
extenuating circumstances, but allows program managers to understand, if there's any delays, have those conversations and remove those impediments and those delays. So that's a great metric to have. Sorry. So it's a great metric to have for those measurements. So it allows for continuous flow. That's the whole key. Continuous flow. There's no impediments or any showstoppers. So.
Talking about scope again, my first thought goes to the size of the program, the size of the team. Are you getting results that's scalable that you're seeing, hey, this works for everybody, not just a small team, not just a large team, but this is having an impact everywhere. Are you seeing that?
Absolutely. Yes. So th this metric's really important because there's handoffs. Okay.
Okay.
When a team progresses for their certain activity to get to a point, they usually hand it off to another team or another functional, like a test manager or perhaps security. And then from there, that starts the new clock for time and status, right? And we see
Yeah.
this exchange of information amongst programs, so which is a good thing. So that way, the whole program or multiple programs, we can get to the portfolio level, still delivering that value with quality and time efficiency. So yeah, we see this progressing well throughout the CDTs.
Awesome. Now, when did you say this latest release was?
We had a big release of November in 2024, and we've had minor updates up till May of 2025. So we have some more updates coming this fall, with some more features that are going to be brought into the fold with the BAT team, as well as
Okay.
new industry standards from other resources that we're getting. We're connected with the Project Management Institute here in Dayton, Ohio, and as well scrum.org and other things. And they're coming out with new guidance that we're also vetting and making sure it could be applied to BES. So,
okay. Now with that, you've mentioned BAT a couple of times. I know, and you know, so just remind our listeners, tell us about the BAT.
Sure. The BAT is the BES Atlassian tool set. So it's one of the tools here that we have within our directorate. It consists of Jira, which allows the task and issues to be created and managed. Another piece of the BAT's called Confluence. So think of that as your documentation and other supporting materials that can represent perhaps dashboards, represent ways of working with your team agreements or operations with various diagrams. Then we have, I'm not a tools coach. We have a dedicated tools coach, probably just not summarizing as well as they can, but we also have Jenkins, and we also have Bitbucket. Jenkins does various tests, and Bitbucket does the code repository. But it's a tool set; it's all encompassing, so they all work together within the same web front end. So that way, you can continuously work, and the team can continuously work together, collaboratively, and one tool set. So.
Now, you mentioned that the web front end, and I know that you're talking about the BAT, but for the BES Agile Metrics tool, or the metric guide, what does that look like for the user, for the end user? What are they seeing? Where is that interface, that data coming through for them?
It can come in a variety of ways. So if they are support of the program, something can be published saying, hey, this release that we just did with our software, we can publish it with Confluence saying, hey, we put these features in, this bug release got fixed, this feature got deprecated, it's no longer valid, but we did replace it with this new feature. Not only did we replace it, we made it better. So it's a way to have a centralized place for people to pull that information. So that's one way that user can understand what changed in the tool set, or how. And a second way is documentation. How do I use this tool set? How do I get on-demand training? I've seen some great CDTs that put some amazing training sites together in the Confluence areas that support the program. So. Okay. Including ourselves, we have our own Agile Services knowledge base. So we have our own knowledge base for Agile frameworks, but also all the tooling, BAT tooling. We have some how-to guides. We have on-demand videos. We have a lot of one-stop shop, and we eat our own dog food, so we use it that way as well.
Okay. And one of the questions we had here is, you know, what are the new Agile metrics that have been added to the most recent guide? Now, we've kind of talked about that throughout the conversation, but is there anything else you want to toss in, or maybe even putting you on the spot? What is one of your favorite metrics that has been added? It's something that you get excited about when you tell the story.
Yeah, one is called the escape defect count. It helps our Agile coaching conversation as well as DevSecOps. So it helps with the conversation of a bug, a defect, an escape defect. So this metrics allows the understanding. We actually provide guidance. What is a bug?
Yeah.
Why is a bug in maybe certain scenarios? But we also have a column on the how. How can you configure your Jira issue ticket, such as a bug, and how to track it as part of the metric. Then from there, understand what the defect is. So we have that common language and understanding. So that's something that our team configured or coded and got into our test environment. And we had somebody else, like a test manager or somebody on the team, verified there was an issue. It didn't go to production yet, but we caught it in the test and development environment, right? So it's a conversation piece. It's like, okay, how did we miss it? Or what was like off, and how can we now learn from that? We see something like that in the future. The new metric now is the escape defect, that, you know, we build it, we did an intro test, we did some more testing, but it still got to production and the user found it. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's that new category. It's like, okay, how did we all miss it, but the end user end up finding it for us, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So again, it's not a bad thing. Agile is about learning opportunities, right? So it's a process
right.
improvement opportunity. It's like, oh, okay, for this particular item, we need to go back and look at and have conversation about our processes, the process improvement, right? So how can we maybe prevent something like that from getting to production again? So that's why I'm excited. That way we catch stuff before the user sees it.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, one of the things we talked about last time is the Agile Services Office, you and your team. What you guys are doing is not just for internal customers at Bez. You guys often have interaction outside of the directorate. So tell me, what does that look like? How is this used beyond the business and enterprise systems?
Absolutely. So we help programs that also work with FMO or the functional management offices that can sit at the Pentagon or other military operational bases, right? So we help foster the requirement questions and answers, right? What they're seeing from a stakeholder, end user, warfighter perspective, then how does that get translated into the program management office within Bez and making sure those requirements and common language match. So we help with requirement and language management. So, because they might have progressed and talk to folks one way, but then how does that get lost in translation? So we try to find those common ground so things become less lost in conversation. And we all come to an agreement of, if there's a new widget, what is that new widget is? Okay, can we describe it? Can we measure it? Can we, you know, understand how long it'll take to build it to get out to the warfighter and stuff like that? So that's one of the main areas that we help is having that understanding on requirements. So outside the organization.
Gotcha. Okay, so before we started recording, you used the phrase, you know, the elevator speech. You've given us some amazing content, some things to really understand. So, but when I'm thinking about the Bez Agile Metrics Guide, why?
Yeah.
Why do I need to consider this? Why do I need to implement this?
It allows a measurement framework to understand at the conception of an idea, and then it's turned into a requirement, then the requirement's approved, then it takes a team to build it, then we have teams to test it, teams to secure it, and then we go through our checklist for release before it gets out the door. So these metrics and measurements are very important so we can understand the stage gates of each and everything. And if there's a measurement that shows long times or poor quality, we understand that we need to come in that moment or that area to have a conversation. And that's the conversation is process improvement. Are we waiting for information from another team or another organization? How can we improve that intake time, for example? Is there something internal within our team that we need to look at? Do we need to have more conversations and faster turnaround on decisions, for example? There could be all sorts of scenarios, but the measurement allows, you know, we also can judge when an idea gets started and when that feature gets to release, what's our baseline for that? You know, if we have a new idea, let's say it's July 2025, you know, what's our average time with a new idea? Can we get out the door? Is it 3 months, 6 months? I know it depends on the ask, but we can start getting a baseline. It's like, okay, these like features that we've been told in the past, this is our usual timeline. And if it's a new feature, we can take our timeline and add a couple more iterations for research, understanding if it's some new technology we need to buy to support it or something we can build in the house. But we got a baseline. We can add a couple more, you know, time elements to understand that. We can come back with an estimate. That's the key. So we're not in a reactive scenario.
Mm-hmm.
These metrics not only understand our health, but we can start getting to a proactive scenario.
Okay. All right. So for somebody listening to this, They're interested. Their curiosity is piqued. So what now?
Sure. If you have any questions about the Agile Services Guide, reach out to the Agile Services office. We are love to have a conversation. We have three talented Agile coaches on staff. Happy to answer those questions. We also have monthly meetings. We have what's called the Agile Crosstalks, and we talk about any aspect. And we also welcome questions. So if you have any questions about the Agile Metrics Guide or metrics in general, have those conversations with us. We love to have that. And also we have on-demand material. So our Agile Metrics Guides published to anybody that has a CAT card, they have access to all of our information. We continuously keep it updated.
Okay. That's great. Thank you. I appreciate it. Once again, great interview. I always enjoy talking with you, Mr. Madden.
Likewise.
So, hey, to all of you, thank you for joining us for the BES Mission Success Podcast. At BES, we run the systems that run the Department of the Air Force, moving money, manpower, and materiel. Until next time, good day.